right. Wrong was always wrong, and right was always right. And you never had to wonder come Sunday where they'd be with their sons and daughters in pew number 3. But now this modern age has them feeling out of touch. The church has turned the page, isn't asking them for much. They're a fortune of knowledge, they've been through the fire, and to have them here among us, just think how blessed we are. Their wrinkles tell the story of how they made it through. They faced the rain and weathered storms, their scars are living through. Their wisdom is a treasure right underneath our steeple. We could learn so much if we take the time to listen. Older people, they can tell us how revival can melt the hardened heart, how teardrops on our Bibles is always where it starts. And when the way seems hopeless, the church can still achieve if we'll preach the gospel boldly. Stay on our knees. I'd rather hear from those who've been there, telling how they overcame, as they walked the road familiar, and did it all in Jesus' name. Their wrinkles tell the story of how they made it through. They faced the rains and weathered storms, their scars are living proof. Their wisdom is a treasure right underneath our steeple. We could learn so much if we take the time to listen. I don't want to miss the chance to sit and listen. We'll be blessed if we only pause and listen. Pause and listen. The older people.
I would invite you to grab your Bible, grab a pew Bible in front of you. We'll also have the words on screen today. We are looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 27. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 27. Over the last month or so, I've heard from so many of you who have had to deal with hail repair, whether that be on your roof, whether that be on your car. And when you have that, you know how to deal with it. You call up your insurance company. They get out there and look at it. You get some different quotes. You get a date set. And then you get it fixed. It becomes inconvenient. And you might have to pay your deductible. But you get it fixed. And maybe you've already got it done. Maybe it's going to be done soon. But you can get it accomplished. and you can forget about it. Sometimes we want the Christian life to be like this, especially when it comes to suffering, especially when it comes to dealing with issues and problems, when it comes to our health, a problem at work, a problem at home, a problem with our finances. We want to be able to solve it and solve it quickly on our own. We want a quick fix. For some, this desire for a quick fix has led to some false teaching. And I'm sure you've encountered it before. Well, if you just had enough faith, then you're going to get healed. So if you haven't been healed, you just need to get more faith. Or if you have enough faith, you're going to receive a windfall of money. If only you had enough faith. Or maybe you've heard, you know, if you just had enough faith, you'd get that dream job. You'd get that promotion you always wanted. Or if you just had enough faith, you'd have that thriving family that you always wanted. This is false teaching because as Christians, we are going to deal with suffering. We're going to deal with it. Yes, we know that the Lord heals. And we know He performs miracles. And we know that He brings people from darkness into light. We know that God does all of these things, but that does not mean that we will never deal with suffering. Things will go bad. Paul, in Romans, he addresses this. So let's have a prayer, and then we'll have a reading of this section of Romans. Gracious God, we thank You for Your holy word. We thank You that everything we need to know about salvation in Your Son Jesus is found within the pages of this awesome and holy book. Lord, send us Your Holy Spirit. Guide us in Your word so that Your word makes sense, so that Your word drives down deep into our hearts, that it build up our faith and trust in You, no matter the circumstances. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here are Paul's words starting in verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. This is the word of the Lord. Maybe you've asked the Lord, why am I dealing with this suffering? Where did I go wrong? I thought that being a Christian meant that everything will go great in my life all of the time. But we see here in this first verse that that is not the case. Paul himself says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Maybe right now you are dealing with trials and temptations. Maybe you're dealing with persecution. Maybe you're dealing with effects from this fallen world, with disaster, with disease, with old age. Maybe you've lost a loved one recently. Maybe you've lost a friend recently. We are going to deal with suffering. We're going to deal with it. But we have some good news. And the good news is this, that Jesus suffered for us on Calvary. Yes, we share in this suffering, but we share with Jesus in something else. Jesus' glory is revealed in his resurrection, and we too will share in his glory. And this is the awesome and interesting big thing in this first verse. That glory that we're going to share with Jesus, that glory makes any kind of suffering that we're dealing with insignificant. We might think that what we're going through, our suffering, is a big deal, but when it comes to the glory that we are going to share with Jesus, it looks like nothing, because that glory is so awesome and so great. What we're dealing with today is not even worth comparing with the incredible glory that we're going to share with Jesus. Verse 19. Paul starts talking about creation. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. All of creation is waiting for that glory to be fully revealed. The rocks and the trees, the skies and the seas, it's waiting. We dealt with hail about a month ago, flooding. Maybe over the last couple of weeks, the mosquitoes tried to pick you up out of your garden and carry you off. Creation is waiting. Why is creation waiting? Well, let's go to verse 20. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Well, what's being talked about here is the Garden of Eden, when Adam brought sin and corruption into humanity. Adam ate from the tree that he was not supposed to eat from. He brought sin and corruption into all of humanity. Not only us, though. That corruption ended up coming upon creation as well. Adam in the garden is to blame. We, because of Adam, are corrupted by sin, and our planet is also corrupted. And our planet, all of creation, it is also waiting for the freedom that comes with Jesus. Our planet is looking for freedom from corruption. There's some different scriptures that talk about this. Imagine the day when the lion lays down with the lamb. Think of our planet someday being more beautiful and more productive than we can ever imagine, like it was back in the Garden of Eden, before the corruption. The creation is waiting for the day of redemption. That day when everything, including us, is brought from bondage and decay into the glorious freedom of the children of God. What's being talked about here is a new heaven and a new earth. We can go to Revelation chapter 21. Here, John talks about what's going to happen in the end. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" Creation, right alongside us, is waiting for that day. Verse 22, Paul says that we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Well, what does childbirth have to do with this? You know, I was, I had the awesome opportunity to see the birth of all three of my children. And yes, with childbirth, there is pain. But it is pain with a purpose. After seeing all of that pain, there are beautiful children that emerge. And in my case, three beautiful children. When we think about creation and its corruption and the things that go wrong, it's not hopeless. It's not meaningless. These are birth pangs because there will be a new heaven and a new earth. It will be redeemed and renewed. So Paul starts with creation. He talks about the corruption in creation. That's going to be fixed. And then in 23, now he points to humanity directly. He says in 23, "Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." We are dealing with those birth pangs too, with that pain also. But we know that the pain that we deal with is not hopeless and it's not meaningless. Yes, my feet hurt from time to time. Yes, I heal slower. Yes, there are some spots on my skin that I need to get checked out. I had thyroid cancer removed in two different surgeries underneath my neck here. I am past middle age, but we look forward eagerly to the redemption of our bodies. We will have resurrection bodies in the new heaven and the new earth, and we can live in eager expectation for that. Now, maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I've been suffering for a long time. How do I continue to wait this out? Is there any sign of hope, Pastor Barry? And I will say yes. There is signs of hope. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have the first installment. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and we can lean on the Holy Spirit for guidance. And certainly we can talk about the gifts of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us how to pray. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us in Scripture. We can look to the Holy Spirit and the first fruits that we have from Him. And we can be assured that there's more to come. Fullness, redemption of our bodies, new heaven and a new earth. We are adopted by the Lord in the legal sense. Jesus has died for us. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And we are children of God. We'll see the fullness of that, the completeness of it. on the last day. Then verse 24 and 25, talking about this wonderful matchless grace of Jesus. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Here's the hard part when it comes to suffering. Hoping in what we don't see. Waiting patiently. Patient through hurt. Patient through suffering. Patience through discouragement. Patience through our doubts. Patience while we're struggling with sin. And patience when we're dealing with death. We are called to be patient. To wait it out. Lean into the Holy Spirit. Know that what we're dealing with now is insignificant compared to the glory that we're going to share with Jesus. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Yes. Because we are corrupted by sin, because of Adam, we are weak. We live in a state of weakness our whole lives. And that weakness How do I put this? This state of weakness makes it so that we cannot rely on ourselves. This state of weakness is, it puts us in a place where we need help. The Spirit doesn't remove it, but the Spirit helps us in it. So as we go day to day, we deal with suffering, we deal with weakness, we turn to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit helps us. I don't know, we can think about it this way. You know, that night that we had all the flooding, I went and helped out a friend of mine, lives down the road. We had, I don't know, there was eight to ten people at his house. And we had different people in the basement with vacuums. We had other people filling up buckets. And we had a bucket brigade leading outside. And we spent hours filling up those buckets and hauling those buckets from the basement. And man, it looked like we were doing so good. We got down to about a half an inch. We were doing so well. But then we started to get tired. And in another half hour or so, you know what? We were back to where we started. It was at 3 inches again. It wasn't until the pumps were brought in that the problem was taken care of. We gave it our all, but we got tired out. We needed those pumps to take over. We can think about the Holy Spirit in that way. Yes, we can try our very best, but we rely on the strong, awesome power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And sometimes we need that Holy Spirit, or we need the Holy Spirit to take over where we fall short. This is awesome. Sometimes we don't know what we ought to pray for. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. This is awesome. When you throw your hands up in frustration and you don't even know what to pray for, well, the Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf. The Holy Spirit sustains us in tribulation and trial and trouble. And then finally here, verse 27. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. This is a Trinitarian moment here. The Holy Spirit facilitates communication between us and the Father through Jesus. And the Father knows the mind of the Spirit. And the Spirit intercedes for us. When we're dealing with suffering, when we're walking through struggles and trouble and temptations and trials and persecution and all of those things, we can be reminded by Paul today that what we're dealing with is insignificant compared to the glory that we are going to see in fullness on the last day when there's a new heaven and the new earth. And in the meantime, we can lean on the Holy Spirit who is living in you. Lean on the Holy Spirit. And when you don't have words to, when you're throwing your hands up and you don't even know what to pray for, just know that the Holy Spirit living in you is interceding for you on your behalf. What awesome and wonderful grace we have with our wonderful God through our Savior, Jesus. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we praise you for all of creation. Lord, we look out at the beauty and wonder, everything that you have made. Lord, last night I had the opportunity to be out on the Lake Winnebago just as the sun was going down and the moon was coming up, and we had to stop and just sit out in the middle of Lake Winnebago and take a look at the beautiful moon. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful creation. It certainly speaks of your glory. But Lord, we know that someday there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. You are going to renew and redeem all of the brokenness that we see around us. And it's going to be more beautiful than we can imagine. And Lord, we know that that's true for our lives too. Lord, we deal with all kinds of issues and trouble, whether it be something physical, whether it be mental illness, whatever it might be, Lord, you are going to raise us up with resurrection bodies, and that wonderful glory of Jesus is going to be in us. Lord, we look forward with eager expectation for that day, but Lord, we ask that you help us to be patient. You help us to be patient. Lord, today we praise you for Vacation Bible School. We thank you that we had such a wonderful 3 days with those kids, showing them who you are. Lord, we thank you for our children's director, Roxanne, and all of the work she puts into it. Lord, we also thank you today for Juan Carlos Portillo and his passion and love for you that brought him into Mission Aviation. Thank you for the training that he has received so that he has the tools that he needs in order to serve you and to share your good name in places where they don't trust you. Lord, we lift up the EAA air show to you. We pray for safety for all of the planes and all of the shows. Lord, we lift up the suffering, the present suffering that people are dealing with. And Lord, we know that we have loved ones that are dealing with cancer and heart issues and pain and death. Lord, encourage them today by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask for all of this in Jesus' name, amen.